We've been going through this series of frequently asked questions, and really this series for people who ask questions and people who know people who ask these kinds of questions. And we started out with, how can we know that God is real and that God is good if God allows suffering? That was week one. Why does God allow suffering? And we kind of discovered that it's not about God allowing or causing suffering, but that God doesn't always quite intervene for us the way we want God to intervene. And that led to some other questions and some questions that were asked that day, but we also had received, and we knew that this topic would come up. If God doesn't intervene, then really what's the deal with prayers? Why doesn't God always answer my prayers? And some of the write-in questions that people had went along the lines of this. When we pray, does prayer change God or does prayer change me? And that talks about, you know, the sufficiency of God and if God's changeable and immutable and those kinds of things. A lot of theological things behind that question. So we're going to cover that in a little bit, but also that same day, Carrie came up to me afterwards with a heartbreaking story, in a sense. And so I asked her to share that with us a little bit. And it deals with her mom and an experience that her mom went through. And they prayed and prayed. I'm going to let you tell the story. Come on over here, Carrie. And so Carrie came to me. Do you remember the exact question?
Yeah.
You want to share that exact question you
gave? So I came up to Dave and I said, first, I'm going to ask you something seriously because only half of what I say to Dave is really serious. So I had to make it clear that this was a for real question. And as he's going through this, you know, series, I have wondered, but it doesn't plague me or kind of,
it doesn't hold you back.
It doesn't hold my faith back in any way. It was just a question of, it was about healing. And my family had went through a situation about 11 years ago where my mom was diagnosed with brain cancer. And I know probably many of you don't know who my mom was, but she was a faithful servant of the Lord. And she sang. We sang together a lot. We had a ministry together. And she was just a wonderful lady who had a heart for individuals and just meeting people right where they were. She was so good at, when she would sing, really looking into people's eyes. Or I remember one time being on a mission trip with her and there was somebody sick in a hospital bed and I was very young and just started really singing in front of people, but she was able to just hold that person's hand and sing right to their face. And I was always amazed by how she was so, just had that heart for the person's heart. And it didn't matter what that person did or, you know, people in our family can attest to that. She just loved. She loved people. And so when she got diagnosed with brain cancer, at first it was not, I mean, brain cancer is pretty serious, but it wasn't like, okay, you're going to die of brain cancer. It was like, we found a tumor. She was having some weird symptoms. And I never was afraid. I'm like, all right, we're just going to pray this thing out because I know God heals and you are faithful and he loves you and he's going to heal you. I thought, whatever the purpose of this is, it's going to be that God's going to heal you. And she went through treatments, started to get a little bit better, and then she got really worse. And she really went from being able to talk and kind of be her normal, you know, self to it was just not her anymore. It was like overnight. She had had a stroke and couldn't talk and had no really long-term memory. She had no short-term memory. I mean, it just got really bad really quick. So even then, I was like, well, God's going to heal her. Never doubted. It was horrible to watch and experience. She was my best friend, and it was hard to not have that friend and to have my mom. But I never thought God's not going to heal her. I mean, obviously, he's going to heal her. And we had people everywhere praying for her. Everybody loved her. So my question to you was, why does God choose to heal some people, but he doesn't choose to heal other people? I know, like, God's plan was not for my mom to have brain cancer. God's plan is not for anybody to have cancer. That's not what he created. And I never doubt his plan, or even now, you know, I think I said to you, I'll figure it out when I get to heaven, but I probably won't care when I get there because she'll be there and we'll be just having a great time. So my question was, why does he choose to heal some people and not choose to heal others? Because everybody was praying for her. This wasn't like just one church. It was everywhere. I mean, we had people praying for her everywhere, and we believed until she died. And so Mm-hmm. That was my question.
Yeah, and I don't know that I'll have a great answer for that by the end of this sermon, because she did say, figure that one out, Dave. And
it's like,
good luck. But the question really, taking it a step further, is why weren't my prayers answered? And then if you have to take it another step, the way I expected them to be. And that's really the big question. Why aren't our prayers answered? And then the little tag, the way I expect them to be. And so we'll talk about that. And Carrie graciously agreed to talk about that. And it's been a while.
It's been a while. It's been about 11 years since she passed. And those of you who have met my fantastic daughter, Marie, she's named for my mom. My mom was Denise Marie, and she's Marie Denise. And Marie was born about a year after, almost to the day, that my mom had passed.
Okay. Yeah. So some healing has happened in your heart to be able to take this on.
I mean, I was never bitter. Mm-hmm. Even when she passed, I remember, singing. I always would joke, because my mom was really funny. And I said, people would say, are you all right? Because I think we had a Christmas program at church the next weekend. And are you going to be able to sing? And I'm like, I know if I would not sing because my mom was in heaven, she would come back and haunt me. It would be real. Because I knew where she was, and I knew she really suffered at the end. So for her to not be suffering and have her new body, that was a celebration mm-hmm. for us. It was sad. Mm-hmm. But I'm a very simplistic minded person when it comes to, I know I don't know everything that God has planned. I'm not God. And so I never struggled with anger or, it was a loss, but I wonder, that
right.
was my question.
Right.
Why, because I know he heals, I've seen him do it, so.
Yes. But you could see how a question like that could affect people.
Oh, yeah.
And it could destroy their faith, or at least break down their faith to the extent that, what's all this, what's the point mm-hmm. of all this if God's not going to answer prayers the way I want them to be answered? So, well, thank you, Carrie, and let's thank her for being up here. I'm just going to put some of this down here, Carrie. Oh, no, you're going to need it. You're going to need it. I'll put it back up. You'll have to fix it. We are going to sing some more. So the questions that we've kind of gone through is all right, well, if there's a God, then why does God allow suffering? And if God allows suffering, then how can we know what God's will is? And if God's will includes suffering, then is it all good anyway? I mean, that sounds like not a God that I want to be a part of. And then that other question that I had mentioned earlier, does prayer work to change God? And when we say God is unchangeable, does prayer work then to change us? And does God even answer our prayers if we're just praying for ourselves to be changed? So those are questions that we ask and questions that people ask. So let's kind of go through it a little bit. Now, some of the times, God answers in a way that maybe we don't like. So sometimes God answers no, all right? Sometimes the answer is no. There's an answer, it's just no. And God will answer no for anything that violates these things, all right? God will answer no anytime that it violates his free will. God will not violate our free will. He will not force us to do anything. God will not force us to love him, to follow him, or become like his son, Jesus Christ. He will not violate our free will. So we all want our loved ones to know Christ, right? We want our friends to know Jesus Christ. How many grandmas have there been on their knees praying for little Johnny, their grandson, to come to Christ? But God will not force little Johnny to come to Christ, all right? We all want God to bring people closer to him, but God won't force it. He just won't do it. He will not force us to come to him. He will not violate free will, all right? Secondly, God will not violate the principle of personal responsibility. Will not violate the principle of personal responsibility. Okay? God will not circumvent reaping and sowing. Okay? You know, Galatians chapter 6, Paul tells us you reap what you sow. I think that was part of our suffering talk. Sometimes we suffer because of the dumb things that we've done. You eventually reap what you sow. And Numbers chapter 32 says, be sure that your sins will find you out. Eventually, all of us will have to live with consequences of our actions. We can't just pray them away. Now, how many students have fervently prayed just prior to a test for God to help them on the test, never mind the fact that they never cracked a book open, they never took a note, and they were all out all night the previous night. So we have personal responsibilities for our actions, and God will not remove those. So we must live with the consequences. And the last one is laws of nature. God will not violate laws of nature. I suppose he could circumvent them from time to time, and if he would circumvent them, that would be called a miracle, right? We call those a miracle. But Hurricane Florence, it's law of nature. It's just, it's on its path, and it's doing what it naturally does. There's exceptions for those things, and God will interrupt the normal flow of life and order of time and creation to bring about something that wouldn't have otherwise happened. But you all and me, we could pray against gravity and time, but our bodies are just our bodies. You know, they're going to fall apart, and they're going to get wrinkles, and they're going to get old, and they're going to get unhealthy, and things are going to happen. We get more frail with each passing day, and we just can't pray all that away. So God is not a slave to our every demand. God is not a slave to our desires and our whims. What would God be like if he gave everything that we wanted exactly as we wanted it? Have you ever seen the movie Bruce Almighty? Bruce Almighty is Jim Carrey playing the part of Bruce, who ends up being able to take on God's role for like a week or I don't know how long, a period of time. And he starts hearing these voices. Like, he's just going crazy in his head. He's hearing these voices. And he finally realized these are people praying. And they're praying to him because he's now God for this period of time. And he can't keep track of anything, so he puts them all in filing cabinets. And he realizes, wow, that takes up too much room. So he had post-it notes, and the room gets covered with post-it notes of prayers. And then finally, he decides to make them all an email. And he gets this Yahweh mail. It was pretty funny. You got to see it. But he decides there's millions of these prayer requests. And he decides to answer them all with the word yes. What if that God that we pray to answered all of our prayers with the answer of yes, and then chaos ensues in the city of Buffalo where Jim Carrey was? God is not a slave to our demands to just give us yes answers to everything that we want. God loves us enough to say no. God doesn't always remove us from painful circumstances, but he stands by with us as we go through them. God knows what the end result will be for that person's growth, and because painful experiences shape us as the people that we become. God even answered important people in the Bible with the answer no. Paul was one of them, the Apostle Paul. Paul prayed a prayer multiple times, and the answer was really no, although it was disguised in another nice way. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 through 10, it says, therefore, this is Paul talking, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, in other words, in order to keep me from bragging, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. He had something going on that was bothering him. And he says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. He prayed, God, please take this away from me. But God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. That's a really nice way of saying no, right? God said no. Well, he said, my grace is good enough. You can get along with it. But he says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. God's response was, my grace is sufficient for you. So sometimes God says no. But then sometimes it's like, sometimes we just don't even hear a response from God. What do we do? Sometimes the no is pretty clear, all right? There's a no. But sometimes we don't even hear from God. What about when there doesn't seem to be a response from God? What about when we pray hard and we have faith that God will do something, and then there's no anything, there's no response, there's no yes, there's no no, no nothing. It's like we might as well just go over to the wall and talk to the wall and waste our breath because there's no response to what we're saying. We might even wait for an appropriate period of time to give God enough time to make up God's mind and just give us what we want already, God, or at least tell us, my grace is sufficient, you know, at least tell us no, that we're not going to get it. And I think some of that feeling of being ignored is maybe because we've asked in the wrong way. Now, you might know that I have two wonderful daughters that I dearly love, and they're amazing people. They've grown up to be fine young ladies so far, but sometimes when they were younger, not now, but when they were younger, they would encourage me to give something to them that they wanted, and I maybe didn't always give them what they wanted. Sometimes when they were little, not now, they would get this voice on. It's not their normal voice, and sometimes they would have this voice on that would prevent me from hearing them speak. And some people would call that voice a whiny voice, you know. I don't know what you call it. I call it deafening. And so I would just smile at them when they would get that voice on. I just smile. And they'd call my name, and I'd just say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. Could you speak properly?" And sometimes we don't speak properly to God. What we are actually saying to God isn't even a prayer. See, God answers prayers. God does not answer speeches that are not prayers. Okay, I think our approach to it makes a difference. So why doesn't God seem to answer the prayers? Maybe your prayer is just a speech. So let's talk for just a minute about maybe a good pattern for prayer. And Jesus taught it with the Lord's Prayer. It's a great pattern. I'll just go through it quickly. Is your prayer based on a relationship? That's a good question. And Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name." We're establishing a relationship. Our Father in heaven. It's like saying, "Dear, sweet, special Father, you are the greatest." Now, if my girls would have started every request with that, maybe they would have gotten more yeses. I don't know, but don't tell them that. Wait, they're here right now. If they started with that relationship, the specialness of our bond, I really hate to say it, we might not be able to resist it. Sometimes we don't do that. We just hear whiny voices. So do we start out with the relationship with God? And that word hallowed with God, it's holy, set apart. Is your God that you're praying to, are you praying to God that is revered, holy, set apart? A God who is a special Father, but yet he is distant and holy. I think it's very important. This might be the most important part, that when we pray, we're praying to our Father who is holy, he's special and set apart, rather than addressing God as a genie in the bottle that we take down off the mantle, and whenever God is needed, we rub the little bottle and poof, out comes the genie to give us what we want so that we can get the things that we want that we couldn't get on our own. So as a last resort, we just pull out the little genie in the bottle. We're just talking to a magical, benevolent being that gets us stuff when we need it. So we have this like hit and run mentality with prayer. We go into it only when it's necessary as a last resort. Like, "Oh yeah, I should pray for this thing." But then we've neglected our relationship with God, and we're not praying, "Thy will be done." We're praying, "My will be done." And as soon as God grants our requests, we might say thank you, but then we put the genie back in the bottle. We put the bottle back on the mantle, ready for the next time that the crisis comes along. So pray with relationship. Have that relationship. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then the second question is, are you praying for today? This might get a little confusing with my words, but Jesus' model for prayer was that it was only for worries for today, to only give us today what we need today for today, to get through today. And we must remember that in today, for today, every today. Every day is a today. We get wrapped up in the future worrying about tomorrow, worrying about 10 years from now, relying on prayers that we uttered yesterday to take care of tomorrow. But Jesus said, take care of today. And I'm guilty of that, totally guilty of that. Oh, man, that's me. I tell myself, I don't need to pray for that today. I prayed for it yesterday. And God knows the desires of my heart. No, pray for today, that God could take care of today. I like this line from Reverend John Warrener, not related, Warrener is his name. Our prayer needs are experienced in each today, and they will be met in a today. God cannot bring satisfaction to prayer in the past because that's gone forever. And he cannot answer a prayer for the future because we're not there yet. And when we do get there, than that is today. So pray for today. Each prayer cannot be satisfied until the day God answers it, and therefore prayer needs to be daily. Prayer is prayer last week is not prayer. Prayer last week was prayer. The other part of the idea is that we pray for today, for today's needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Unfortunately, it doesn't say, give us this day our daily tag-alongs. Those are the best Girl Scout cookies, by the way. The tag-alongs are with a little cookie and the peanut butter and the chocolate. Oh my gosh, they're delicious. So get me those next time. Pray for today, what you need for today to get through today. Give us the things that we need to get along for today. Tomorrow's going to take care of itself when tomorrow becomes our next today. And then the third thing is, are you right with God? Have you confessed your sin? Have you repented? Are you back to square with God? Do your sins go unconfessed while you continue on in your sinfulness? And so Jesus taught us to pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. So we must have forgiveness of our sin for our relationship with God to continue. It's only through our salvation in Jesus Christ that we become righteous before our special Father God, and then our prayers are heard. Not only are the prayers heard, but God, special Father, will send His Holy Spirit to dwell in us and pray for us. So prayer's not just asking God for things, you know, just the laundry list of things. God, give me the things. But prayer is a time for fellowship and communion, communication with God. It's a way to develop our relationship with God with two-way communication. But if you have a relationship with God and you are praying for today and you're right with God and still not getting answers, all right, so I'm just going to assume that the questions that we've had about prayer not being answered, that all those things are being taken care of, okay? We got a relationship, but we still don't get the answers. Maybe there might be this. We need this persistence in prayer. Now, I'm going to use a parable from Luke chapter 18. It's verses 1 through 8. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should pray always and not give up. Persistence in prayer. This is an important concept for Jesus to teach the disciples. And we're all, if you believe in Jesus, you're a disciple. You get to be taught this too. To pray persistently and not give up. Other versions say, do not lose heart. Keep praying and keep praying, even when you don't feel like praying, and keep on praying until you feel like praying. Do not lose heart. Be persistent. And then the passage goes on with the parable. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. So this is a parable. It's a fictional story meant to teach a lesson, but Jesus always took things that people would understand. So the judge would be a Gentile, appointed by Herod. He would not have been a Jewish judge because those matters for Jewish people would go before the elders, and the elders would be God-fearing. So this judge was a Gentile. He had no care for the things of God, so it says. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. So no one knows what her grief was about. Like, nobody knows what her trial was about or who her adversary was. That doesn't really matter. What matters is she kept coming to the judge with her plea. She kept coming, and she kept coming, and she kept coming. Verse 4 says, for some time the judge refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. All right? He's like, I'll see that she gets what she wants, so she'll leave me alone, basically. So the judge is self-aware. He knows he doesn't fear God. He doesn't care what anybody thinks about him. But he was getting annoyed, all right? He was getting bothered by this persistent widow that kept coming after him for justice. She kept coming, and she kept coming. She kept coming for justice. And Jesus doesn't say it, and the judge doesn't say it, but there's a name for a woman who keeps persisting on the same topic over and over and over and over. And you all know the name, and I'm not going to say it. So the judge was annoyed by this woman who kept doing this over and over and over, and he decides to grant her justice, but check out his motive. His motive says, yet because the widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. He was afraid she was going to get violent with him, and can you even imagine that? He feared for his own health. He feared for maybe his life. This is one of the times I looked up the word in the Greek just to make sure the NIV got it right, and they got it right. On other translations, like the King James Version, says, so she doesn't weary me, but it, instead of the word attack. But the Greek word that Jesus quotes, the judge is saying, is hippopazio, which means to beat black and blue, to smite as to cause bruises. In other words, he was afraid of getting beat up. He was literally afraid of being attacked. Because the lady was serious, and she was persistent, and she was not going to take no for an answer. So it speaks to his motivation. The only reason why this guy, this unjust judge, was going to give her justice was basically for self-preservation. Right? He was only looking out for himself. Remember, Jesus at the beginning of the parable said he neither feared God nor cared what people thought. He only cared about himself. He had no care or concern for the widow. He cared only for himself. Now, in a moment, we'll talk about the connection that Jesus makes between the judge and God as a comparison. So, God is not that way. We'll talk about it in a minute. But the motivation was only for himself. In verse 6, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So Jesus makes a comparison of the unjust judge to God, except that Jesus clarifies the comparison. For as much as the unjust judge is unjust, God is just. God is fair. And God is good. The unjust judge doesn't care about people. God cares for you, and God wants the best for you. The unjust judge answers the woman's prayer only out of self-interest. He only cares for himself. But God answers out of what's best for us and what's in God's best interest. He does both. And so, even if an unjust judge with no care in the world for God or for others can grant requests with poor motivations, how much more will our good, loving, gracious God grant the persistent prayers of his people that he loves? And at the end of it, the unjust judge was unchanged. He was still unjust. And at the end of our prayers, God is also unchanged. God is still loving and gracious and kind and good. Prayer doesn't change the character or the nature of God, but our just God can change situations. And going back to Jesus' example from the Lord's Prayer to continually pray for today, every single day, we are encouraged to persistently pray like this widowed woman, to keep praying and keep praying every day without ceasing. And David Guzik says, sometimes it does seem that to us that God is reluctant to answer our prayers. Yet the delays in prayer are not needed to change God, but maybe to change us. Persistence in prayer brings a transforming element into our lives, building into us the character of God himself. It is a way that God builds into us a heart that cares about the things the same way that God cares for them. And then he quotes Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon says, too many prayers are like a boy's runaway knocks, given, and then the giver is away before the door can be opened. And that's just ding-dong ditch. You know what ding-dong ditch is? How many of you done ding-dong ditch? Yeah, okay, be honest. All right, you go up and ring the doorbell, and then you beat it out of there before the person comes. Charles Spurgeon knew about ding-dong ditch, okay? He says our prayers are like a ding-dong ditch. You just pray it, and then you leave it. As a culture, I think we have trouble waiting. We have trouble with being patient in general. We do everything like a ding-dong ditch. We show up. We see if we can't get if we can get what we want. If we don't get it, we move on. We get to the next one. If we don't get that immediate response, we're out of there. We get mad if we don't immediately see the three little dots on the iPhone text message. You know what I'm talking about? You send the text. I know they got it. I see the read receipt. I want to see the dots. Are they talking back? They're not. Put it away. We have on-demand everything, so it becomes difficult for us to wait for the things that we are praying for that God has not seemed to respond with an answer for us. And for the record, I'm not advocating threatening violence like the widowed lady, okay? Don't do that. But Jesus taught us the parable to teach us persistence in prayer and to teach us the character quality of God. Because when we get right down to it, the question is, does prayer change God or does prayer change us? And prayer doesn't change God, but persistent prayer can make an impact so that God moves on our behalf to accomplish God's purpose within us and for the sake of others. Prayer changes us as we patiently wait for God to recreate the image of Christ within us. So prayer works. Prayer changes situations. Prayer changes people. But just because you did not receive what you asked for within 24 hours of you asking it doesn't mean that God has said no yet. It doesn't mean that God is ignoring you. It doesn't mean that God has said yes yet. Even when we have persistent prayer, we must be humble enough to receive an answer that we're not expecting or that we don't want. We have to be humble enough to receive an answer of no. Or we need to be ready for God to answer it unexpectedly in a different way. Sometimes God answers our prayers in unexpected ways, and it may actually be better than what we were expecting and praying for. And we found that out as we were developing the Play Cafe and putting Engage Newark together, that God didn't answer the prayers that we were praying for the way we wanted it to be, you know, and it wasn't in the time that we wanted it to be in, but it always ended up being better, always, every time. God exceeded our expectations, and he did it on his own time, and it was always at just the right time, which was always later than what we wanted. Coming back to the original questions, why aren't my prayers always answered? And I don't think it's a true question, because we just don't always like the answer. The answer is there, we just don't like it. And so we pray, and we pray for miraculous healings, and they don't always happen the way we want it to be happen. And the safe answer, and the only answer of comfort that I could give Carrie and her family for this old wound, and it's not, you know, it's calloused now, you know, the wound is healing. But that your mom experienced the greatest healing of all. And I am certain now, 11 years down the road, that you would not want to pull her back from that healing that she has experienced in heaven today. The prayer is answered, but the heartbreak is real. And so our prayers must be changed. We are changed in the process of it. The heartbreak is real for those who are left behind, but the prayer now needs to be changed for our own healing and for our forgiveness and understanding and seeking God's redemption of that situation. So God answers our prayers. God doesn't answer a list of demands. God responds to our relationship with him, and we are persistent and patient in communicating with him. So hang in there with him. And I'm not talking about hanging there with him for like the next day or two. I'm talking about years. Some of those prayers need to be years. Not just try it today and be done, but a lifetime of prayer, and watch as your spirit becomes attuned with God. Prayer comes from a relationship with God, and I want to emphasize that more than anything, that as you pray, and we want you to be a praying person and a praying people and a praying church. And so the team's going to gather, and we're going to sing a few more songs. If you guys want to come on up, I'm just going to give a little bit of instruction here. We're going to sing, but prayer needs to come from a relationship. And if you're not really sure how to pray, if you're only used to just like, all right, God, here's what I need, or here's what I want, here's what I need you to do, and you find yourself being stuck against the wall with that kind of prayer, here's a pattern of prayer I learned a long time ago. It's just called ACTS, A-C-T-S, ACTS prayer. And you start out with adoration. We're going to sing a song called Praise the Lord. That's just adoration right there. We're giving adoration, showing God, telling God that we love him. Start out, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy. You're telling good things to God about God. And then confession. This is where I screwed up, God. Please help me repent of these things. These are my mistakes. And then give God thanks for the things God has done for you. Thanksgiving. So we got A-C-T, and then S is the supplication. Then you get to your requests. Then you give your requests. Talk to God. Have that relationship with God. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving before you give the list of things. And I think it's important to tell God what you want. And the scriptures are very clear about that. So do it from a perspective of relationship, but be humble enough to accept the answer that you get. Now we're going to sing. We got two or three songs?
Three.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is a time of prayer. This is a time of singing. And I'm going to be up here nearby, and I'll pray with you if you want to, but you don't have to come up for anything. But pray, and pray with relationship in mind.